Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much, Jayan, for that introduction and for the invitation to speak this morning. I'm going to talk a bit about reshaping the nursing workforce, but what I will do is not duplicate any of the material that we've already heard, because we've had some a masterclass on the bill and some very insightful observations from Judith about the realities of the new Health Education England and Education Commissioning structure. My colleagues from the department as well will be here this afternoon to pick up some of that detail. What I thought I'd better start with is not what's contained in the health bill necessarily in great detail, but what the Secretary of State's intentions are behind it. And he genuinely believes these three things, that we need to better put people at the heart of the system. And I think it's really important to recognise that this is about people generally and not patients. The word patient doesn't feature there. And that's because I think it's really important that we recognise that people need to understand and help shape a system before they become patients. They are not, as patients implies, passive recipients of care. They should be much more involved in shaping what the care system should look like. And this goes way across the system, health and social care. And it's very easy for someone like me to think about a completely hospital orientation. But that is not the intention of the new arrangements, to think much more about straddling those barriers and making pathways much more seamless, as we've intended to do in the past, but not yet cracked. He also wants health outcomes to be amongst the best in the world. And some of the data that he would consider around Europe suggests that we are lagging behind when it comes to achievements, particularly in cancer care. But nevertheless, we have some really good outcomes, but they do need to be better. And health inequalities as well are really stark around bits of the country, around two sides of London even. And it's really important to recognise that those inequalities do matter. And where they are less stark, then we have a great deal to learn about those sorts of improvements. Empowering professionals as well is key to the reforms. And the Secretary of State will talk about clinicians, and he doesn't just mean doctors, he does mean all forms of clinical professionals. It's really important to recognise that that means nurses, midwives, allied health professions, healthcare scientists, whole range of people that really should be, in his view, much more influential over the commissioning arrangements for the future and what people need for their future health services. But I think it's really important that in developing that system we guard against just what the professional view is, because people do need to understand what the choices are that they can make and not just have the professional commissioning views imposed upon them. And with those things comes greater accountability and it is intended greater autonomy. So this will be much more locally led than has been previously the case. And I think that's a really important point to touch on when it comes to education commissioning, as Judith mentioned. The local education and training boards to reflect what's happening in local commissioning is really important, and it gives the employers as well as professionals a very strong position to help commission education that reflects service needs in the future. One of the things that's been recently announced is the Nursing and Care Quality Forum. The Prime Minister on the 6th of January suggested that we should create this forum. And this is partly in response to these intractable difficulties that we have and challenges around good quality care. We've heard a lot from the Patients Association, we've heard a lot from Care Quality Commission, particularly in their Dignity and Nutrition reports. We've had the Ombudsman's report as well, where we fail in some cases to provide high quality care. And it is something that we need to actively try to rectify. If it were easy, we would have done it. So it's something that's really going to be very difficult to work through. But I do share Judith's enthusiasm for the next generation. I really do think that we are to a large extent, recruiting the right sort of people. But we do need to make sure that they come with the right values and behaviours, and then they are trained into the excellent skills that we need. So the Nursing Care Quality Forum is being set up. So far we have a chairman who is Sally Brearley, pictured here. She's a strong patient advocate. She's a fellow at King's College in London. But she's also has a clinical background in nursing and physiotherapy. So she brings a huge breadth of experience to this chairmanship role. The membership is still a matter of debate, but what I can tell you is that it will be a forum that is widely open, and it will be really important for you as educators and service providers to give evidence to the forum through various means, and the Council of Deans, I'm sure, will pick up that baton as well. The forum will probably... and I say that guardedly, probably look at these four themes. They're not absolutely set in stone, but I'd be surprised if they don't look something like this. And again, there is a notion that we need to put people first. This is really, again, about what services people need, what they want, how they should be shaped, and probably long before they become patients. But patients' needs are, of course, important as well. And it's understanding that shape of the service that can then help shape the workforce. Values and culture are absolutely crucial when it comes to recruiting potential students, of course. But have we got the values and culture right in the services that we run at the moment? We would probably argue that we have, to a large extent. And I once spoke on a platform not dissimilar to this, and talked about the values that drive or drove me to come into nursing and midwifery, and that helped me deliver care when I was in a clinical role. And the challenge back from the audience was, well, what makes your values right? And I think that's really important, because certainly one of the things that was a challenge for me when I first started nursing was the diversity of patients that I would have met during my hospital training. When I was a community midwife in Scotland, that was a very different clientele as well. And my values instilled in me in my youth are not necessarily the ones that will see me through this changing diversity. And I think we need to recognise and challenge ourselves about some of that. Culture is extremely important when it comes to professionals being clustered bodies in a collegiate sort of way, but culture of organisations as well, I think, is going to be of growing importance. And I think it'll be something that we hear Robert Francis talk about when he ends his inquiry into Mid-Staffordshire Hospital, is that the culture of an organisation like that says so much about how care is delivered. And it's really important to recognise that places like that can rehabilitate and change and improve over time. But it does need strong leadership from the top, from the board level. And to recognise that culture is really important. And time to care. One of the things about caring that I have constant discussions about... not least with my mother, is that she of course thinks she can care with compassion, and I believe she can too. She does it with limited knowledge, and I think that's a really important thing that I hate to admit it, she's a Daily Mail reader, but that's, you know, where she gets her intelligence from, apart from being a hospital care user. But that care with compassion is really important. But I think one of the things we have a challenge to do is to drive that notion that we need intelligent care with compassion. We must have the knowledge that comes with it. And there is an enduring thought that nurses may not need degrees to practice, and it's a line that we are going to have to hold very strongly, because there is quite a firm push to recognise that there's some really caring, motivated, worthwhile people who want to come into nursing who may not make the degree level grade. Well, in that case, they can have many meaningful caring roles, but they may never register as nurses. And I think it's really important to continue to hold that line. And we've touched on as well the regulation of healthcare assistance. And from a political standpoint, this government is not persuaded that regulation of the whole healthcare assistant workforce is necessarily the right thing to do. They're not persuaded that regulation on a list in London, for example, would have stopped some of the scandalous care that we have seen in the last year or so. Nevertheless, they want a voluntary assured register, which does help employers make sure that they've got the right people in those sorts of roles. Releasing time to care is part of the productive ward system, which many of you will know about from the NHS Institute. Reorganise care at a local level, whether that's in the community or in hospitals, and to invest that time back into much closer clinical conversations and contact with people who need that care. And that was partly the drive for the announcement about nursing rounds, is to reinvest that time in those meaningful conversations with people in our care. And of course, leadership has been touched on previously. But I think it's very important to recognise that this needs board-level leadership. That's really important for organisations of whatever shape they are, not necessarily hospitals. But I think one of the things that we need to do more and more about is the leadership at the delivery level. The ward sister, the community team leader, the people who are really shaping the next generation, shaping care, and have that really close contact with people who are using their services. So a whole set of new challenges, a whole changing landscape, but actually when it comes to fundamental care, I think we need to continue to promote the fact that we need intelligent care with compassion. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.